Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Not Alone. Today I'm Anu.
And I am Joseph.
Welcome. So today we're discussing an interesting question. Actually, two interesting questions. One is from Lydia and one is from Peter. They're basically saying the same thing, mm-hmm. but we're trying to view it from a feminine perspective and a masculine perspective, just so then we'll bring it together. So we'll start with Lydia's question.
So Lydia is asking, she said, most times when I try to tell my fiance that what he did is wrong or painful, he always ends up getting angry and ignoring my calls just because I expressed my mind. What would you say about this?
Quite interesting, isn't it?
Very.
Yeah.
Any preliminary thoughts?
What would I say? I would say it's normal, to be honestly. Not the anger or ignoring your calls. It's just the reaction. I think it's normal.
So when you say it's normal, that means it's normal in your experience?
Yes.
So your experience, when you try to tell me why we were still cutting and we're still cutting, I'm that what I do is wrong or painful, I get angry.
You don't get angry. Yours is just, we could be talking about things and I chip in my correction and you'd be like, okay, so I'll see you later. Bye on the phone. That's what... Or you could go quiet for like 10 seconds and say something like, say, we could be discussing something about uni, mm-hmm. and you go quiet after my correction and you'd be like, so I know you're going to the library, okay? All right, I'll call you back in the afternoon or something. Something just to make me see that you haven't said that well. And I think, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that.
Do you agree with my example?
I can't remember specifics of all these examples you're giving, but of course, it's not out of place to feel somehow when someone tries to correct you. I think naturally we are kind of, I don't want to say resistant to correction.
True.
I think the human nature naturally we like to believe that
we're perfect
and we know it all and we are doing it well. And if anybody comes for whatever reason to make us see that we are not doing it well or doing it the way we're supposed to, naturally something just...
It raises red flags.
Yeah, except you've really, really taught yourself to be like Christ and be perpetually humble in every situation and in every context.
That's true.
Yeah, so...
I like what you just said, like, this is even outside of whether you're a man or a woman, like...
Yeah.
Especially if you now have the kind of temperament, is it temperament that you say, where... You like doing everything correctly, so you don't get to be corrected.
You're a perfectionist.
Yeah, and someone will come to you and say, hey, you didn't do that quite well. It would definitely raise red flags, so I understand what
Absolutely.
What you said.
But I think that's coming from a place of, amongst other things, our cultural background and cultural backdrop, in a sense, in which we grew up in. I, for one, growing up, there are very few feminine voices that took the place of the corrector, if you get what I mean, in my life. Besides my mom, throughout my school days, in that sense, I can't remember many teachers that were difficult teachers that were female. Most of the difficult teachers I experienced were male. And I grew up in a church whereby women are not allowed to take some leadership positions, say the fivefold ministry. We don't have women pastors, apostles, prophets, teachers. And so growing up in that kind of context naturally makes you, whether consciously or unconsciously, to learn to kind of embrace this almost anti-feminist worldview.
You get it too. Okay, you're raising red flags now.
I know, but it's the reality. Like, we're not isolates in that sense. We are always a product of all of the different things that have shaped us. The schools you went to, the friends you had growing up, the church you grew up in, the experience you have, marriages around you, your parents, of course, amongst other things. And things like that just naturally kind of has shaped your expectation of what marital life, courtship, dating, men, women, guy, girl, relationships. beliefs and doings. We just already have expectations shaped by our perceptions. And when God brings the opposite our way, and God loves to bring opposites, and the person is beginning to manifest his or her opposite. Yeah, manifest his or oppositeness, or give expression to a normal person, which of course we find opposing and antagonistic, then there will be friction. And the friction can be managed. That's a different issue. But first and foremost, to make Lydia say that this is just natural.
It's
basically the differences between gender coming across. But I think the key, and I think you'll be a better person to speak about this, because I've seen you model this again and again in our relationship. I think the key is in how you present the issue.
Very true.
It's not so much as to whether or not you correct your partner, but how do you do that, especially in light of the fact that you know that It touches him when you
touches him
when you try to correct him. So what would you say to that about how you do it?
Okay. Before I say how I do it, actually we had done this recording, this episode, last week.
Yeah.
So we did it on a Sunday night. We were planning to post it on Monday.
Yeah.
Then we had a situation. so similar to what Lydia was asking.
Yeah.
And it was so, what was the word? Shocking. That we're just doing an episode now, telling people how this is very normal and how to manage things.
Yeah.
And this is me. And I basically did the opposite of what I've said. So what happened was, we had a situation happen with one of the children, and I lashed out, basically. I lashed out and blamed color for the situation. But what I want to draw out is how that we keep learning these things.
Mm-hmm.
We just keep learning it, basically. That's what I want to bring up from that, to say that even us, that we're saying these things to you, we haven't reached that height of utmost practice that, I'll talk with wisdom when he talks to me. I know when he's angry. I know when not to press his buttons. But now I do know when to press, and I still press anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to say that, to lay that premise down, to say we're not experts in this. We're just trying to say, share with you how it can be managed going from our experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So with what you said, our choice of words and delivery, it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing I'll tell Lydia is, you need to know your fiance. When you've come to an understanding of the person you're courting, or the person you're about to marry, or you're married to, it takes the pressure off. The corrections becomes intermittent, or even non-existent, because you're aware of who they are.
Mm.
So my first tip to Lydia would be that when you feel the urge to correct, first check within yourself. Are you trying to correct the situation, or are you trying to change the man?
Mm.
Because if you're trying to change the man, your correction would come very attacky. Oh, you did this, you shouldn't have done that, you should know better.
Mm.
But if you're trying to correct the situation, you will find that your words, the choice of words, would be something like, how can we make this better? How can we avoid something like this? What can we do better? And even if you have to correct, be gracious in your correction.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the very thing we're correcting our partners for are the things we're also faulty at.
Yeah.
So this minute you're saying, how could you have left your plate on the bed? And the next night, you were leaving your plate on the bed, and nobody's saying that to you. So, but what would you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you said, believing the fact that we are all a work in progress is one of the fundamental secrets of any relationship. Knowing that neither of us is perfect, it helps us to come into our dealings from a place of grace.
Mm.
Knowing that this thing you want to correct him or her for, that doesn't override the fact that you have also got many other issues, 101 other issues that needs correction.
True.
And sometimes just that knowledge puts you in a posture whereby the way you come across it then becomes different, you know, in my relationship with you, for instance.
Okay.
I found out that you're the kind of person that likes to say it as it is, say what is in your mind, let's talk about it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I would rather, there are some things I would rather not talk about, not because I don't want to talk about them. I just think that this is ignorable. I mean, you can just ignore this. You can overlook this. And there is wisdom in overlooking things sometimes. But of course, most ladies are just my wife, wants to talk about every single thing. Let's talk about it. So yeah, that there is that. And to me, that's a gender difference thing. For me, and again, going back to Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, which was one of the books that helped us to navigate and get a hang on our differences. It did say that for most men, there is this way in which we process things by going into our caves. We just need some time out sometimes and just be in the cave, think things through, and come out of the cave when you're ready to come out of the cave.
What happens in between? What happens to the whole family when you're in your cave?
The family life continues. Being in the cave doesn't mean we won't go to work or put food on the table or give you whatever it is that you want, or give you our card for you to go and withdraw money from. Just kidding. Yeah. But yeah, the way we process issues are different.
True.
But coming to that knowledge of who you are, who your partner is, when I say who you are, I'm saying that from the place of knowing especially that you're not perfect yourself, and then knowing how your partner responds to correction.
That's very vital.
Bringing those two together should help you approach how you present issues when there are issues to be talked about, or when there are issues that need to be corrected in that sense.
I agree. And what you just said about understanding your partner, yes, I am outspoken and I tend to say it as it is, but because I realize your temperament, I realize how you like to take things, when I start to spot those silences, those let's change the topic, I am quick to stop and evaluate exactly what I'm doing. Because sometimes I wouldn't even mean as a correction.
Mm-hmm.
I could come with a suggestion. I think most times, yeah, mine comes as suggestion.
Yeah.
And I could say something like, I think, yeah, if you had done this on a Thursday, it would have been better and we wouldn't have this time lapse that we're having. And that is all I said, yeah. All Kola can hear is, you are very bad at time management. And he's told me this before, that there's a way I say things,
mm-hmm,
and there's a way you hear them.
Yeah.
And that comes from tone. Sometimes in my wanting to suggest things, I could come as superior, like, oh, I know better. And most times, yeah, it's very silly. Most times, these things are things I'm far removed from. I don't even have the skills. So I'm coming like, oh, I've got an idea. Let's go with this. And he's coming and he's thinking, huh? I beg you, you don't even have a clue what's going on with your suggestions and things. Yeah. So I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say, like, when we read the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus,
yeah,
the man said something like, men don't like unsolicited advice. Like, if your partner doesn't come to you to say, I don't think I did that time thingy well, please, as much as you can, refrain from giving advice when no one has asked you for advice. Because I think that's one of the main things with men. Obviously, I don't know all men, but yeah, from Kola that I've noticed, when he really wants your advice, when he wants my advice, it comes to me, I will talk about it, and it's a very joyous process. But when it's me coming with my, hey, I just got this brilliant idea I want to share with you, and I keep talking and talking and talking and talking, and it's all silent. I think midway through my ranty suggestion, I kind of pause and think, I'm going overboard, Abby. And he says, yes. I said, oh, okay, sorry, forget I said all that. And yeah, it's not as though you don't have to suggest things to your partner, it's just the timing. Like, is it necessary now? And yeah, and you should try correcting the situation, not the man. Because sometimes we'll say something and all they will hear is, I'm not good enough for you.
Yeah.
I'm not good enough for you. You want to change me. You don't like me the way I am. And the more we make these corrections or these suggestions, the more they push back.
Yeah.
Now that is where the friction starts from. So there's wisdom in being quick to hear, slow to speak. and slow to anger. If that's forefront in your mind, no matter how messy the situation is, you'll be quick to say, okay, I'll just take my time and see what the Holy Spirit says to me on how to handle this.
That's brilliant. So to recap, basically, we've talked about the fact that we've got different cultural backgrounds and backdrops in our lives, and all of these have shaped us into who we are individually. And naturally, when two people come together, no matter the level of similarities that they have, they're going to have conflicting differences. That's a given. So knowing ourselves, learning who we are, and learning who our partner is, and that's a journey that will take forever. But as you are learning and discovering more about yourself and about the other person, it helps you to begin to put things in perspective and know how to present your corrections, as it were, or suggestions or advice or counsel,
yeah,
as the case may be. Let's move on to the second question. Is there something else you want to add?
Oh, and you know, I said how that the man said men don't like unsolicited advice. Women also don't like, what did he say? We don't like quick fix answers. So if your partner is coming to you to say, I don't like what that sister did to me, how can she look at me like that? And the man goes, she didn't even look at you at all. Or, why are you worrying yourself about that small matter? That alone has killed all the...
That's right.
All the discussion, all the things. So sometimes you need to let us say how we are feeling, even if you don't think it's...
If you're not ready, to listen.
You should be always ready to listen. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, that came to mind too when you were talking about unsolicited advice. And that was one of the big lessons I have learned personally. I'm still learning and putting into practice in my relationship. Maybe because of my teaching bent, I'm quick to spot as someone is talking. because this is not just you really, but when I'm listening to people, with maybe they've asked me a question or they're trying to narrate something that has happened and they need my counsel, of course I will listen through, but as they are talking, I'm not just listening to them, I'm also trying to picture, okay, what exactly is going on here, and what would be the wisdom, the wisdom from the sage, to profile the situation. But for women, according to Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and really, which are found to be true, they process issues by talking through them, and talking through them, not just saying things and midway you've already figured it all out and given them, because of your superior wisdom, giving them 17 points to process it. I mean, it just doesn't work. Let them talk through and continue to call forth more and more from them by like, oh really, oh wow, oh yeah, I didn't notice that. And then they just keep going on and on and on, and you are earning many points.
And at a point you say something like, Anu, I think I'll sleep now. you say Anu, my eyes are closing. And that to me is, and it's enough, let's talk about it tomorrow.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, so Peter asked a different question. It says, I'm having doubts in my relationship, even though I felt led into it in the beginning. And this is mostly because of some attitude problems from my partner. Although she's teachable and she has corrected a couple of those attitude issues, but then the recurrences make it seem as if either the progress is slow or our level of maturity is low. And these attitude problems are mostly about the ways she put out some statements, brackets, use of words, which sometimes portray rudeness. Okay, so that's Peter's question. What do you think?
Bro Peter, I think your words were a bit too heavy.
Which parts?
Attitude problems, your partner being teachable. Whether progress is slow or maturity level is low, statements that portray rudeness. All I can hear is, I am perfect and I've got this so imperfect person as a partner. I don't know what to do. Your words show a level of perfection that I can't seem to relate with. I'm sure it's just my own perspective, a feminine perspective of seeing what you said, because it's quite wordy and heavy in a sense. What do you think?
I share your thoughts as well, in the sense that, I mean, if I were to zoom in on some of those phrases, it's just like you said, it portrays some form of superiority, inferiority dichotomy. I am here, up here, I'm in a relationship with a lady that is down there, and I need to do everything to get her up here, but she's not coming up here to my level as quickly as I expect her to. Now, the problem with that is, one, just like we were saying in the other question, this is purely differences. These attitudinal problems are not problems, and they are not attitudinal problems.
May not be
in that sense. I mean, there can be an issue with how anybody talks. That's understandable. True. Yeah, I get it. We can easily conclude that our partners, they're sounding rude or coming across as whatever. But basically, that's our ego talking, and nothing more, nothing less, really. If we're going to swallow our pride and listen to the wisdom in whatever they are saying, irrespective of how they've said it, we're going to see that there is wisdom in it, and we're going to be able to make some progress. But that's even secondary. The primary thing that I am hoping Propita will get, to use my wife's words, is that first, you are not perfect either. I mean, you've not seen things from her own side. She probably also thinks that you have some attitude problems, sir. I mean, that's the reality. She probably thinks that you're also high-handed. I never knew there was a word as high hand until I got into a relationship with my wife, and she used that phrase to say, okay, you're using your high hand. And that's when I start getting the fact that, okay, maybe I'm coming across as being the ogre. The ogre at the top.
Typical traditional Yoruba man.
And I just soft feather in that sense. So really, you are not perfect either. You've also got issues, just as much as she's got issues. And if you would readily admit that, I think it's going to shape how you go about addressing this seeming issue. And maturity is relative. What you're calling maturity, someone else is calling stupidity. So it's a very, very relative issue. I think the core of what's going on here is, again, to know yourself, know her, and then begin to see how you can work together in that sense. What do you think?
True, I agree with you. And it just goes back to the graciousness to, yes, what you've said is true. Not might be true, it's true from how you've seen it. They are very true. But it's just applying grace to these things, to the slow progress, and praising and bringing up to the front of your mind, to your speech, to your actions towards her, the best things she does, her strengths, like just louding is, like we would say in Nigeria, just from the rooftop say, oh, my wife is the fiance is the best, she's this, she's that. Meanwhile, you know, in the deep, your deep mind, you're still struggling with the things you think she might be better at. If I'm being praised for my efforts, it makes me want to do more, stand up more tall. But if I'm being corrected every time, it gets tiring. It would affect my self-esteem and self-confidence. So even when I'm talking to other people, I am unsure of myself. So I'm just saying, Peter, this could be the same thing your fiancé is going through. But try and just push to the front, praises, just encourage her, and pray about the other things you would like to see. And obviously, with God, other things are possible. God saw as she was before he said, this is you, the person I'm giving to you. So it's a way that you're able to manage it. It's just how we manage that, and how it doesn't affect the core of the relationship. God bless you.
God bless you. So yeah, those two questions, I think they kind of balance each other out in that sense. The bottom line is that we are going to continue to face conflict in our relationships. That's a given. We still continue to face conflict in our relationships ourselves. And just embracing God's grace from that place of we are both a work in progress. I love the wisdom in how the Bible describes Adam and Eve in Genesis to say they were both naked and not ashamed. Genesis chapter 2, the very last verse. But of course, you get to Genesis 3, Eve and Adam ate the forbidden fruit, and immediately Bible says their eyes were opened. They saw that they were naked and they were ashamed. They started looking for how to cover their nakedness. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, if theologically speaking and practically in life, it seems like every human being has then been on this search for a desire to still be naked and not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
You find that with God, you find that in God's presence, and the other place where you find that is in the context of relationships. What that means is, I see you for who you are. Mm-hmm. I see all your flaws. Like, you are naked before, I'm not saying physical nakedness.
Please don't
in
be
your
naked.
Context until you get married. But you're seeing, and you will continue to see the flaws in your partner. But as you are seeing that, you're still saying, yeah, in spite of all of this, I still do. That's the commitment. That's the love. That's why we come to say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer.
Mm.
But the way to journey through that and still enjoy your marriage is what Anu just said now, appreciation. Spotlighting the things that are good in one another and calling it forth. And just saying, oh, thank you for this. Oh, thank you for that. Mm. Very many times my wife will say, thank you for X, Y, Z. And I usually would say, I didn't get that. Say that again. Just because I want to be sure I know what she's thanking me for. And that encourages me to want to do more of such things. It's just natural. It's the human nature. And yeah, we hope this helps you and helps Sister Lydia in our relationship.
Help everyone.
Help everyone, basically.
Yes.
God bless you. Thanks for tuning in for today's episode. I believe it's been a wonderful time. Any concluding words, Anna?
No, you've said it all. God bless you, Lydia's, and God bless you, Bro Peters, out there. And Bro Peters to be, and all Lydia's to be.
Thank you, everyone. God bless you. And remember, you're not alone.
Today, God bless you.
Bye.
Bye.